all of our lives, and that is patience. James chapter 1, let's read together beginning in verse 2, and we'll go down to verse 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let's once again go to God in prayer before we begin our lesson. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the love that you have shown us. We are thankful for the patience that you've extended to us. Far too often in our lives, we have fallen short, and we are grateful that you are a loving and a merciful God. I pray, Father, that our time together today has been of glory to you. It has edified our hearts, and it has encouraged us to be the kind of people that can live with you in eternity. Dear Father, I pray that you'll help us this morning as we think about this virtue of patience and realize where we fall short in this and strive to implement it in our life much more in those times in which we do face difficult times. I pray, Father, that you'll give us the courage to be able to have the patience that we need to with one another, with circumstance, with the challenges of life, that we might be faithful to you until the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about this word patience, we'll find that among the words that are translated patience in the New Testament, there are at least a couple that I would call to your attention. Again, we won't make this a Greek lesson, but there are a couple that I think are particularly informative to us that help us understand some things about what it means if we are to be patient. This first one, makrothumia, is a compound word that's made up of two elements. The first, makros, which means long, and thumos, which means wrath or temper. Vines tells us that it is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily or promptly punish. And I think by punish there, he may mean retaliate or respond or react in that way. Patience is, we could say, the ability to wait or endure without complaint, forbearing, refusing to be provoked or angered. And I'll tell you, that's something that all of us may struggle with, and all of us need to have this kind of thing. Some translations actually will render this word often long-suffering, that idea of long-suffering. Another word that is frequently translated patience is the Greek word hupomone. It is derived from another word in Greek, hupomoneo, which is composed of two elements, the word hupo, which means under, and the verb meno, which means to abide or remain. In recent studies we've done on 1 John, we talked a little bit about how often John will use that term. So if you are remaining under, you are abiding under, it is that ability to bear up under a load and to keep going. Some have suggested that as we think about these two words, you can kind of distinguish them a little bit in this way. The first is generally a way that expresses patience with regard to people, and the second, patience with regard to things or circumstances. Well, what does the Bible have to say about patience, and why is it something that should be a virtue that we apply within our lives? First of all, I want us to notice that Scripture will actually teach us that in patience, it is an element that helps us to gain or to possess our souls. Go over to Luke with me, to Luke chapter 21 and verse 19. Luke chapter 21 and verse 19. After telling his disciples as he sends them out to teach and talks to them about the things that they can expect, some will put them to death, some will hate them for his name's sake, comes down to verse 19 and makes this very simple statement: by your patience, possess your souls. And there might be two ways that we can think of that. One, in the sense of restraining your spirit or controlling your spirit, but it may also carry with it that idea of, if in fact we are retaining or restraining our spirit and soul in such a way that will be in its best interest in the end, we possess our souls through patience. Look over in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6 with me. And let's notice what the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. It says, and we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience, notice this, inherit the promises. I don't think we could take this to say, well, I just have a great amount of patience, and so I've merited my salvation. No one merits their salvation. But we must understand that if, in fact, we are to abide in the Lord, if we are to abide in faith, we must have patience if we are to inherit those promises. Patience is also something that is needed absolutely if we are to endure the hardships that life throws at us. We talked about that a little bit in our first hour as we looked at Romans chapter 5 that talks about tribulation producing patience. Patience, character, and character, hope. Go with me in Hebrews chapter 10 and notice verse 36, which tells us, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the reward. For a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry." Some there in verse 36 will translate this word that the New King James, at least one version of it, puts endurance. Some will render it patience. Go to Luke chapter 8 with me and in verse 15. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. In the Synoptic Gospels, a parable that is common to each is the parable of the sower. And in Luke's wording of that, I call to your attention what he tells us about patience in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. You'll remember a sower goes out to sow. He sows among different types of soil. Some falls on rocky ground. Some falls among thorny ground. And when he gives this explanation, he comes down to that type of character and heart that we ought to aspire towards. Verse 15 says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." It's interesting because in one sense, as the word goes out, it goes out to sinners. So we're not to think of it that, well, I was just a pretty good person. It's only the good people that will hear and respond to that. No, I think it is here talking about good in the sense of an open disposition, an open heart that is willing to yield to the things that are a part of that word. But notice, how are you going to be able to keep that word? What's necessary for you to be able to keep that word? You must keep it and bear fruit with patience. Finally, notice, patience is also something that is of great, great value to us because we need it as we are waiting for the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. As we face difficulties, as we face trials, so often in my life I've wondered, why does the Lord tarry? Why does he delay? You know, why is it that things continue to live so that our world goes into the chaos it does? The events of terrorism and crime and sin and hardship such as we face. Well, I want us to recognize that as we grow in patience, it can help us realize that patience is something that we need to have as we are waiting. Verse 25 of Romans chapter 8 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience." As we think about this subject of patience, I mentioned in the prayer a moment ago that God has been patient with us. And I think as we may struggle with being patient with other people or being patient with going through various trials and experiences, we will be short-sighted if we don't recognize how much the Word of God teaches us about the great patience that God has had with us as human beings. You know, there's a very touching text in Psalm 103, and I'd like to read it with you. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 8, which talks to us about who God is. You know, a lot of times we'll hear the world describe God in ways that are insulting. We'll hear the world describe God in ways that are not a part of the character of the God that we serve. Is he a just God? Will he punish sin? Yes. But listen to the words of the psalmist here that tell us about the tender nature of God, and let us never forget this. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Think about that. The very fact that he's willing to forgive shows he didn't punish us as we deserve. What a beautiful thing. Verse 11, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, So far has He removed our transgressions from us. We talked in class about the beautiful encounter that happens in John chapter 21 after Peter has denied Jesus three times with cursing, saying he doesn't even know the man. Jesus receives him back and three times asks him if he loves him, three times charges him to take care of his people. He doesn't retaliate. He doesn't say, "I told you so." He has removed his transgressions far from him. Verse 13, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I mentioned a moment ago that we often wonder, why does he let the world stand? Well, listen to what Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, every time perhaps that we wonder, why hasn't the Lord returned? Why does he linger? Bear in mind that there are souls that need to turn back to God. And it is his patience, it is his forbearance, it is his long-suffering that allows the opportunity for that to take place. Patience is something we need. Patience is something that we need in various types of circumstances. And I want us to end our lesson by just looking at some things that the Bible teaches us about when it is that we need patience. First of all, I don't think there's a one of us that would, whether we're talking about relationships within the home, within the family, within our work environment, we recognize that we face a lot of circumstances in which it's tough to be patient with people. You know, people don't think the way that we do. People respond to situations differently than we do. We need patience when dealing with each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." In our homes, we will run into so much difficulty if we don't have an attitude of patience. I'm not suggesting that as parents we don't correct our children. I'm not suggesting that we overlook wrongdoing. But we need to, in the interaction that we have with one another, be patient. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." Do you think in those interactions that husbands and wives have with one another, there is the need for patience? Absolutely. We hurt each other's feelings. We do those things we ought not to. We say those things in a way that was hurtful. We need to be patient with each other. We need to forgive one another. We need to turn away from those things that are harmful to one another. Verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." You know, we've got to set the rules. But in the same way we notice there in Psalm 103, the way that God understands our frame, we need to exercise some patience as we do that. Don't ever permit rebellion. Don't ever permit that which goes against what is right. But understand the frailty of those little ones that are within our care. We absolutely understand as well that we need patience within the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read together, beginning in verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." You know, in the church, there are those times where there's conflicts. People bang heads. We don't see things exactly the same way. Or sometimes, even in our attempts to try to love each other, it is hard for us to always communicate to one another in the way that we ought to. We need patience in dealing with each other. We will stumble. We will make mistakes. We will say things in ways that we didn't mean, and they come across in ways that we didn't mean. So we need to talk to each other. We need to bear with each other. We need to forgive one another. But finally, let's go to James chapter 5. And back to this idea that we talked about a few moments ago about patience that is needed as we wait for the Lord's return. James talks to us a good deal about that in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. And I don't know that I had so much thought about that until preparing this lesson, that, you know, I understand and I realize that so often God has to be patient with us. But we also need to be patient with God as we await His return. I think it's exactly what James tells us here in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And he even gives an illustration here. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We're not going to be faithful to the Lord. We're not going to do what we ought to do unless we cultivate within our hearts that patience which we ought to have. You're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. All things are ready and prepared. We could hear your confession of faith. We could encourage you in your repentance. And this very morning we could baptize you into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God you have not been faithful to the Lord, and you need to confess that to the brethren here, we are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love you, and we would count it an honor to appeal to the throne of God on your behalf. If we can help you, I invite you to come. Always stand and sing.